At the heart of Jesus' mission is the ministry of healing. Jesus came among us to heal persons. He came to heal people who in need of forgiveness, came to heal families who were divided. He came to those who were burdened spiritually by sin and feeling lost. He also came to heal societies, those that would hold people down, to raise people up, and to restore. Today, the readings that are given to us offer us really a meditation on what the psalm calls the saving or healing power of God. As we listen to the stories, the healing stories today, we're invited to consider that healing power. How does God heal us? And that saving power, Paul will call faith. How is it that faith saves us? In those two healing stories that we hear in the first reading and in the gospel today, we are giving these images of really what happens when we're sick. The Bible has a keen sense that when you are sick, it's not just the physical symptoms that you can see and feel the pain, but you can feel sick all the way through, that it affects you emotionally. It can affect you spiritually. It can affect your relationships. And probably no condition in the Bible epitomizes that like the condition of leprosy. And there is something about this disease, this condition, that in a sense alienates you from yourself, alienates you from others. So as these people are living with this condition, you don't even know, do I recognize myself anymore as I'm living through this? It can cause a rift with their loved ones. And in that society, it also can alienate you because there is a fear of contamination. So by design, you're set apart. You're alienated from the community. Leprosy is that condition of being alienated. And we're given two examples. One is Naaman, who is a man of power. He's a general in the Syrian army. He has the support of his family. He has the king's support. He's a man of means. And we have the leper, who's clearly at the margins of society on so many levels. Probably poor, probably alienated just because he was called a Samaritan. We know that they're both lepers, and we're told they're both foreigners. But you know, the thing about disease and sickness, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter whether you're a person of power or a person of poverty. Sickness doesn't care. And we know that ourselves, those conditions, health conditions that we all face, it doesn't matter if you're ready, it doesn't matter if you have means or if you don't have means. Someone who's living with cancer, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Or if you're living with some form of addiction, whether it's, as we hear today about this addiction to opioids or some other addiction, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter where you come from. It has a way of leveling the playing field. Or those who live with mental illness or depression, it cuts across all those things. It's truly nonpartisan. And yet the word that Jesus speaks, the word of God of healing that is given to them, to Naaman, to the Samaritan, and to anyone who is suffering, is the word to go. We hear today that Naaman is told to go and wash. Now, what you may not know is that Naaman did not want to go. He didn't want to go at all to go into his enemy territory of Israel to seek healing. But through the insistence of his wife, through people that cared about him, even the king, even one of his slave servants encouraged him, and he finally went. And when he gets to Elisha, he thinks Elisha is some sort of magic worker, that healing is some kind of magic. And he says, I'm here for healing. And so Elisha says, go and wash in the river of the Jordan. And he can't believe it. He said, are you kidding me? Why wash in the Jordan? We have way better rivers in Syria. Why would I want to go and do that? But through the support of his family again, and through the word of Elisha, he trusts the word and he goes. And this becomes that word that saves him, the faith that saves him. That despite his own need, you know, to be in control, he's a general, he's always in charge, he's willing to go. And it's the kind of going where you have to let go. To let go of control, to let go of your assumptions about the way that healing happens, and to trust God's word. And it's in the trusting of God's word that he experiences the healing of that word. Now the Samaritan has a little different kind of going. You know, they're asking for help, and Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And that's what you're supposed to do in their society when the condition is ended, when the leprosy is cleared up. You go and show it to the priests so they can declare you clean and restore you to the community. Jesus breaks in before they have been healed on the outside. He declares them clean and healed, and to go show yourselves to the priests now. Well, the Samaritan has an added problem. Not only is he a leper, but he's a Samaritan. Why would a Samaritan go to a Jewish priest who thinks you're already a heretic? And yet he also trusts God's word and he goes. But it's a different kind of going. He has to go in such a way that he claims his own healing. He claims his own dignity. And he's willing to trust that word and to go and show that to the priests. And for both of these characters, they experience the power of God in their hearts, in the trusting of God's word. And they experience God's faithfulness, and it heals them. You know, God is inviting each of us to go to places maybe that we wouldn't have thought of going for our own healing. You know, to be able to go and seek forgiveness. Maybe it's the kind of going to see the doctor. That God's word for each of us is a call to go someplace and to trust God's word for us. Paul says to us today that whether we recognize God's faithfulness to us or not, God will remain faithful. Remember in the gospel today, only 10% recognize God's power in their life. And that maybe that's about right. I think that's true. Maybe I only recognize God's presence, God's power, maybe about 10% of the time. But it's enough. And we're invited today as we gather around the table of the Lord to trust that word, that God will send us to go to places and to trust that God is faithful. And as we hear in the gospel, there is a second going. When they come back filled with this sense of gratitude, God says, or through the prophet says, now go home. Go home and bring that experience with you into your lives. And so the question that we can ask ourselves is not what we can do to pay God back, but how do you want to say thank you with your life? Today we gather around the table of the Lord to give thanks to God for his faithfulness, for his word that is ever faithful. It's who God is. And we're invited to say thank you. And each of us in our own way, how will we go and say thank you with our lives?